Good morning, Eva. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. So happy to be here again.
Thank you for joining. And I know it wasn't that long ago. It wouldn't have even been 6 months. But, hey, time is flying these days, so you never know. But yes, either way, you had been nominated, and we're talking about your beautiful wines and how well that they had been picked up globally. And now we've all of a sudden, just very recently, they've actually announced the winners, of which you are one. So firstly, congratulations. And I want to hear all about it. We want to hear about the party, the ceremony, the whole thing.
Thank you so much for this lovely introduction. Yeah, it's been a crazy roller coaster in the last few months, especially with the award, but also with everything that's been going on. So all positive for sure. I mean, the award is obviously the highlight of everything that's been happening. And I do think we spoke, I'm just trying to think when, maybe September or something like that. It could be September.
Right. Okay.
In October, the finalists of the award have been announced. And the award is actually People's Choice Awards, Wine and Spirits Awards, that's held in the UK. It's a award that started by two women 6-7 years ago. And why it's different from many of the other ones is because it's actually based on consumer preference. So the consumers are sort of the main judges of this competition rather than, you know, wine professionals and sommeliers and wine judges who are highly qualified. It's actually focused more on the consumer preference, which I really, really love the idea of the wine competition. And because of all the feedback that I always get from people, how delicious my wines are and very friendly to consumer and such easy to drink and full of flavor, and I was thinking this competition is probably perfect for me to do. So I've entered my 2022 Sauvignon Blanc, which is a single vineyard wine that I made here in Marlborough, and a very, very special wine for me. And because a lot of consumers love my Sauvignon Blanc, I was thinking this will be such a fantastic way to actually benchmark this wine. And actually, how I got to the wine competition is in May last year, I went to an international Women in Wine Expo in London. Funny, we just had a, you know, Women's Day and everything.
Very topical, Eva. We'll get there.
It's connected with that because I met this lovely lady, Nadia, at the International Women in Wine Expo in London, and she was actually doing some freelancing for Janet and Judy and for this competition. And when they opened the entries, she sort of told me, like, look, I've tasted your wines. I think you would be perfect to put your wines in this. So she's actually the one that encouraged me to do this. Because I wasn't really aware of this competition until they actually told me about it. Then when I read everything about it, it has a few categories, a few different categories, but also for me seeking distribution in the UK because I don't have an importer or distributor there. There is one category which is also new to market, seeking distribution, and it's like an easy weekday white wine, which I was then thinking that my Sauvignon Blanc would just perfectly perfectly fit in there. So I've done the application. I sent the wine through, and then in October, you know, the results came through, and my wine was top three wines in this category, and the finalist. And they said that the finalists, the winners, will be announced end of February. And they actually won't be able to tell you, you know, if you won or not. But I don't know, I just had a really good feeling about it from the beginning. Something that is in the air that's telling you that this could be something. I had that from the beginning about this. Also, what I just forgot to mention, it's a consumer, based on consumers, judges, and there is around 120, 130 judges, but it's a mix of consumers and like young wine professionals, like students of, masters of wine programs or WSET courses, and also people from the trade, like people that, you know, deal with marketing or are salespeople or just people from the trade in the UK. So it's a bit of a mix. But it's basically on consumer focused. So then I sort of started thinking, Yeah, maybe I should go to the celebration award dinner, because if I win this award, it's so special for me.
It's and massive for you.
To receive that accolade. So when I started planning a few things and I knew that it was end of February, I was like thinking maybe I could just kind of connect that with maybe a quick trip to Europe, just a few days, come back to New Zealand, yeah. Visit my family in Croatia.
You did, by the way. You actually stopped over? Oh, wonderful.
You actually got me. I've just got over my jet lag. So I came back from Croatia 2 days ago.
Over jet lag already. You are a trooper. God, it takes me like
I've got to keep going. Like tomorrow, already big day, work today. I've got harvest coming end of this week. I have some rosé.
Yes.
Some rosé to pick, some Pinot Noir for the rosé. And I've got this beautiful seafood mussel festival in Havelock here in Marlborough, where I'm going to be there presenting my wines with a match with some seafood. So that's going to be a big day on Saturday. So yeah, lots going on. So then I just sort of try to talk to the organizers of People's Choice Award and sort of see. They obviously can't tell you that. And they just kind of, they encouraged me to. They wanted to see me there, they said, look, we can't really do anything good. The winners are announced at the celebration dinner on the 27th of February in Manchester, but we would, welcome you with open arms if you want to come along. There will be a lot of people, great networking, there will be some distributors to meet and potential importers. And then I just saw that as a really great opportunity to go there.
Absolutely.
If I don't win, I'm still very much, I'm already a finalist. My wine is there for the tasting at the dinner.
Yeah.
It's already quite a high publicity as just being a finalist. So I saw that as an opportunity to go and just sort of see if I win. And then, it was just fantastic. I had a couple friends that came to support me at the dinner, which was just a fantastic thing to share that moment with them. And it was just an amazing mix of different people. I met some really lovely people. I met this really nice lady. She's involved a bit in wine writing, and a woman. She supports a lot of women in wine as well in Scotland, and she's already put like some social media about me, and she's just been great and supportive. And only meeting people like that is already means so much, it's just you can't value that. Like there is no price to that. So
absolutely, and as you say, it's the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I sat on a plane from New Zealand, Qatar Airways, 17 hours from Auckland to Doha, and then another 7 hours from Doha to Manchester. And I arrived there and it was freezing cold, -2 degrees. And I left New Zealand on +30 degrees. So and then I had this most amazing experience. I also had a meeting with another potential distributor. And I also went to Old Trafford to see the Manchester United Stadium, which is what you have to do.
So a trip to Manchester without that. That's awesome. Was that actually quite overwhelming? Like, was that because that's even for someone who's not a massive follower, I would find that pretty awe-inspiring.
It was so incredible, honestly. It was raining, and I didn't really. I've seen a few things in Manchester, but this is. I booked the tour, for the stadium for Old Trafford. It's such an iconic place to go and see, and I grew up watching soccer with my family in Croatia, and it's a big thing, And Old Trafford is just one of those stadiums that's just, it's an icon. And you've got to at least once go and see it. And it was just a fantastic tour of an hour and a half. We managed to see everything. We went to the, locker rooms where, all the players are there. And it was just a fantastic, honest experience. But you learn so much about Manchester as a city, because it drags on through the history of Manchester, and people that built it and how much, it developed and all the economy and stuff like that. The guy that did the tour, he was just so good, and he just really learned so much just about the history of the city through visiting the stadium. And I did that the day before I flew into Croatia, and then I was in Croatia for 4 days. And the reason why I went there is because I brought my mom back to New Zealand for a visit. which is super exciting because no one's ever been from New Zealand to visit me, from Croatia to visit me in New Zealand. For 12 years, and it was such so special actually to go from Manchester there and celebrate the award with my family.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it was just amazing. And then my mom came back with me here to New Zealand to visit me here for a couple of months. And yeah, so just very special times.
It has been a very special time. You've only been back for like for 2 days. That's it's really impressive. I've got so many questions for you about the actual, you know, the event itself and the ceremony. So let's talk, first of all, well, the dinner, for example. So the ceremony dinner, your wines were part of the wines menu being served at the dinner or?
Look, no? It wasn't like, it's a very relaxed sort of it's a very relaxed event. It's not a sit-down dinner.
It's a cocktail style. Okay.
Right. Sort of a cocktail style. So it's a buffet of food that we all had. And the wines, it was in a really, this really cool sort of like an old-style pub that also does dinners. And I think it's a restaurant as well because it was maybe 150 of us, something like that.
Right.
And so the wines were all of the finalist wines in all of the categories were just set up on the bar, and everyone had their wine glasses. And at the beginning, before this, the official part of the ceremony, everyone came in and they could all taste through all the wines and, you know, meet people and chat and check and things like that. So it was really, really well done in sort of that kind of like a very relaxed way. Obviously, yeah, the
nice part of the
ceremony where you know, we went through all the categories and we had great hosts that were running it, announcing the winners and everyone clapping, and we were sitting in like this area where it was just specialized for that, and then we had another area for mingling and food and drinks. It was really well done in that way, so it was a very, very sort of relaxed, very, very good event for networking, for example, because
you're just
moving between people the whole time. There's no like allocated seats and then you sit with the same people all night. It's just a very well done sort of that buffet dinner after the winners were announced. And then, yeah, it was just, yeah, I really enjoyed that way of doing those sort of things.
I think you can kind of get more out of it when it's that sort of networking scenario. I do agree. And it suits, of course, it suits the audience of what the actual event is all about more, because it's more about the people's choice. Now, you just touched on categories. There were some really interesting different categories, weren't there? As opposed to, I guess, your normal sort of award style of, you know, best Sav or best single vineyard, this and that. They have a bit of fun with it, don't they? Do you remember some of them?
Yes, there was a like an easy weekday white, and in that category you had like a
which is yours
easy fun rosé as well, and then you had like great fizz for evenings or something like that for the sparkling
love
wine.
It yeah. Oh, yeah, so they're not taking themselves too seriously, they're having a lot of fun, and that's
so that was really well done. And with spirits as well, there was spirits too, and also there was a there was a video competition, which unfortunately I didn't manage to get a video in, but they had at the award ceremony, there were four videos played, and they were each about like a story behind the brand. And there were three different, two spirits producers and two wine producers, one of them that produces zero alcohol wines in the UK, sort of had like a 90-second video about the story behind their brand. And I really wish I could have done that, but I might do that next year. And it was just really well done. And then at the end, the winner was announced of the video competition. So they do that video competition as well. It's really cool. So between few categories, they play the video, you know, on a big screen. And then after a few categories announced, they then again play another video. So it's so much fun. And then the public votes for the video. I mean,
So this is also what I want to understand. Yeah. How does the judging, like, how do they vote? What's the actual process of what we'll call it, the judging, I guess. How does that actually work?
Yeah, the video is judged by people attending the dinner, But the wines, as I said, I don't know the exact details how they, you know, they probably shortlist a few wines. They go through all of them and then they shortlist them maybe one time and then they retaste again and then they probably do the finalists. And then from the finalists, they announce 3 to 5 finalists in each category. And then from that one finalist, you get a bronze and a silver and a winner. So out of those, so the two people that were with me in the category, one of them was bronze, one was silver, and I was the winner of the category, or gold, basically, but no gold.
How exciting.
Yes.
Now, but how did you then, keep going.
Sorry?
No, keep going.
It's a mix of, as I said, it's a mix of judges from different, you know, areas of the industry and average consumers. And I think that style of judging as well, I think it's pretty relaxed because you don't have a very high level of, you know, wine judges specialized for this, masters of wine that follow certain very, very strict I guess, patterns of judging the wine, because you have the consumers, I guess, I think it's very much relaxed and they just actually talk about the wine, what they know about the wine, you know, because they don't know some of this very specific sensory science, you know, particular things. Yeah, yeah.
All the technical stuff. And
they love it. Yeah, if they like the wine and if there's something they would change maybe, or it suits them for a glass of wine in the afternoon, or would they eat it with food? You know, maybe it's judged in that way. Yeah. But it's an interesting question.
I love it.
It would be cool to know more about it. So maybe I could ask Janet and Judy how actually the judging goes. It would be great.
I'd love that. If you could fill that back through, because I think that's really interesting. I'm genuinely interested as to how they go about it, because it obviously is very different and not so strict. But yeah, so what's the most important part? Now, we've spoken beautifully, and thank you for giving us a really comprehensive look into what the awards are all about. And I hope that this actually is impetus for other, you know, up and coming winemakers like yourself to enter the sort of thing. But let's talk about your wine specifically again. So you of course do the Sauv Blanc, of which you just won with your 22 Sauv Blanc. You do a Pinot Rosé, you do a Pinot, and you do Chardonnay, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Now, they're all single vineyards?
Yes, they're all single vineyards.
Yeah, all single vineyard, all just Marlborough, all vegan friendly. You haven't gone down the organic route yet, have you?
No, not down the organic route. It's something that I would like to explore in future, but it just takes a while to sort of find some land that you're able to like do the transition to the organic. Mm-hmm. And with a few growers that I have at the moment, they're all very sustainable and going towards the regenerative agriculture with a lot of things they do in the vineyard, because they're all as well very, they want to increase biodiversity. They want to, you know, help the environment. So the way things are done at the moment, it's still quite satisfying at this point. But I would love to have like 100% organic wine in my portfolio for sure, but it's a very, very different it's a very, very different production. It's got to be a very specific vineyard, and maybe one day when I'm going to be able to like buy my own vineyard and have my own estate and my own land, I would be able to look into maybe converting part of it to organic or having an organic one, because also at the moment for me to purchase organic fruit, there is not a lot there available because it's already allocated. Mm-hmm. And the wineries that have contracts for the grapes, it's just, there is not a lot of that available at the moment. If you don't own the land or it's not your vineyard, it's really hard to sort of get organic fruit.
Get your hands on it. Sure. Yeah. That does make sense. Okay.
Growing the viticulture in New Zealand in the way of sort of very much moving towards a lot of sustainable things and, you know, preventing every year some new sprays that can't be used and things. So, even the commercial side of things will become very environmentally friendly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only way that everyone can be going these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, which is a good thing. It obviously does mean changes and means, you know, more expensive and things like that. But I'm sure they'll also find a way to make it easier, more affordable, because they'll need to get everybody on board going further. So just on Harvest very quickly, mentioned before, you're just about to pick the Pinot Noir for your rosé. Tell us about how Harvest has been for you this year. Is it, you know, what are the yields like? What's the quality of fruit like?
Yeah, this year is actually going to be a really, really good year for quality in Marlborough. It's going to be an amazing quality because we had such a dry, hot summer, not a lot of rain, not a lot of disease pressure and moisture and challenges in that way. And the crop is also probably 20 to 30% down this year across most varieties. So it's going to be actually a really beautiful easy sort of harvest. You know, at the moment we're looking at really good weather, degrees, 20 to 25 degrees, maybe a shower or two on Friday, but the rest is looking really good. So a lot of really great ways to, you know, leave some grapes out there if you want to ripen them more. So no pressures to pick if you are not ready, but you have to because of rain and disease. And yeah, it's been a really, really good season. Obviously lower crop, but that's not the worst thing, because mm-hmm. we had quite a couple of very high crop vintages here in Marlborough in 2022 and 2023. So to balance probably the volumes a little bit, it's not so bad to have a little bit of reduction in crop and the vineyards and everything. And yeah, we're very excited because the fruit's looking amazing. And I think we'll be getting some really, really awesome, delicious, super delicious wines coming from New Zealand.
Excellent.
And Marlborough this year. So very excited.
Good. Well, that's exactly what we want to hear. So you were actually, I mean, we touched on before with this International Women's Day on Friday. Now, that would have actually been the day you were flying back if you came back 2 days ago. Is that right?
And I,
you were in the air. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you weren't exactly, you know, attending things apart from, but you were, you know, drinking champagne in the sky. That's not a bad way to celebrate it. It's probably my choice. But it is quite topical, as you mentioned. You know, many things are being founded by women and for women and all that sort of jazz. How involved are you in New Zealand? You know, Australia is quite big into it. What's the scene like over there for women in wine?
Yes, in New Zealand, I'm very much involved, and I've been since basically I started my own wine with New Zealand Wine Growers. Woman in Wine New Zealand is sort of under the umbrella of New Zealand Wine Growers as an organization. It's very active. There is quite a few things going on, and I've been a part of that Woman in Wine mentoring program. Woman in Wine New Zealand, they do a mentoring program every 2 years where they choose 10 girls, young girls, you know, up and coming from the industry, and they match them with, you know, highly skilled, very experienced women as mentors. And then you are sort of matched together based on, you know, what your preference is, what you need help with, advice. And then you're together, you know, working through, meeting, and just, helping each other. And I've been in that program in 2020 for 6 months, and it's just been phenomenal meeting these ladies. And yeah, it's just been such a valuable experience, and I'm very much involved in that. And I just missed, actually, what you're saying. I've missed an event. There was a Woman in Wine Marlborough event with Bubbles just the day after I flew from New Zealand, so I couldn't attend, unfortunately. But yeah, very active. There is great support out there. And also, as I went to the International Woman in Wine Expo in London last year, I'm hoping to get the one in Portugal this year in May as well, as a part of the another sales trip that I'm planning on in May. So it would be fantastic because, it's the women I've met there, and it's been just incredible. So I do want to do that 100%.
And you obviously are very, very involved. That's wonderful.
Yes.
We need people like you. You're so effervescent. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I would love to have a quick chat about Croatian wine with you, because for one, I spent a bit of time in Croatia and I love the wines there. And I know you come from a winemaking family. Their whites are beautiful with seafood, but I particularly thought their reds were magnificent. Can you give us a little bit of, you know, insight into Croatian wines these days?
Yes, there is such a diversity as well with wines in Croatia. And I think the standard has gone up so much in the last 10 years. The quality is incredible. There is a little bit of export going on. But, you know, when you just look at the regions going from the inland Croatia, you know, Slavonia, and then the area around Zagreb, and then you've got Istria, which has incredible reds and whites, as well some like Pinot Gris, and yeah, they've got some incredible as well, a lot of indigenous varieties, you know, like Poship from Korčula. There is so many.
Oh,
such a diversity. And I just recommend everyone that, you know, go and travel to Croatia, to wherever they are, which island they are or whatever, to just sort of visit some local cellar doors and check the little places and try some of those wines. And as well, as you know, like Dalmatia with the reds and Plavac Mali, and there is some pretty incredible incredible wines. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it is so much.
Yeah, but I have to say, the cellar doors, I went around to quite a few of them, actually. And this was not that far out of, where was I? What's the little peninsula that is just north of Dubrovnik? Never mind. I'm just going to be wasting time. Don't worry. Either way, I was so impressed with the wines and spent, you know, a good couple of days going around them. And I loved speaking to the winemakers, and I just loved hearing like their take on it. You know, Croatians are, you know, very different sort of personalities to Australians, New Zealanders. Like it's in how they tell their stories about things. And there's always a great story, and it's all family, and there's all war ravaged through it. And it's like, wow, I've just had this massive history lesson, and I'm just drinking these amazing wines. It's so for anyone who goes to Croatia, it's not just about sailing the Adriatic. Definitely try the wines. But look, Eva, this has been so wonderful to have you on the show again. And so I was right, it was 6 months ago. So there we go. Jeez, that went quickly.
Wow.
Congratulations again. I know. Well, if you said it's September, wow. We're March already. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So what's on for the rest of your day?
So, well, today my fiancé actually just, he bought a boat in Dunedin, and he was taking this boat for 2 days from Dunedin all the way up to Picton. So I'm actually take my mom to Picton and pick up Jeff and have a look at this cool boat for his work, because he's also in seafood industry. So here's the connection.
That's a match made in heaven, isn't it? Match made in heaven.
Sharing a little bit this afternoon for, you know, a big week ahead, just sort of making some preparations and sending some emails, booking some harvesting, and yeah, just exciting times.
Brilliant. Well, look, it's a very exciting year for you, and I'm really happy to see it. We are all very happy. Now, again, for people to try out the wines, it is Eva Pemper Wines, so it's epwines.nz. Yes. That's going to be one of the simplest web addresses ever. epwines.nz. Check them out. Clearly the 22 sad blog. Don't know if you're going to have a lot of that left soon. That must, the quantities are going down.
I still have, but I'm planning some exciting things for Australia, because I have so many people looking at doing something in Australia, and people being able to just come on my website, order the wine, and I can just ship them from a warehouse in Australia. So I'm looking for those opportunities. If someone has any suggestions, just give me a buzz, send me an email.
Either contact Eva directly or contact Simon or myself through the show, and we'll put you in touch. That's what we're here to do. It's what we like to do. Let's help you out. I still can't wait to try them. So it's getting a bit remiss
of me.
I'll talk to you about that later. Yes. Eva Pemper, thank you so much, darling. Congratulations on your wonderful win. We'll get you back on the show again in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of the day.